I certainly thank the Lord for what can be done through prayer. And I ask your prayers today as I stand before you for a little while. I want to try today, by God's help, to share with you the thoughts that he's given me. I feel good in my soul today. I'm thankful I have a salvation I can feel. You know, I've said before, there's a lot of people in the world today that they say you can't feel your salvation. Well, they just haven't got the real thing. If they had it, they wouldn't make that argument. I'm thankful for heartfelt salvation. For something that's real. God's real to me in my life. I mean, he walks with me and talks with me, just like the song says. I feel the presence of his spirit. I pray to him and beg him to, you know, show me the way, and he comes and speaks to me and leads me. And the Bible tells us, you know, speaks to us about God directing our path. And he will certainly do that for his children. I want to read today from the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. A few verses beginning with verse 1. If you would read along with me today, please turn to Acts chapter 8. And we'll begin reading there with the first verse. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And I want to stop reading there with verse 8, having read from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, for a scripture reading. And I want to speak today for a few moments about the work of the Lord's church. The work of the Lord's church. And I want to speak about it in that way, because that's what I believe the Lord left his church in the world to do, to work, to carry out the things that he had given the church to do. And I believe that when we read the Great Commission, when we read that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I believe that even when we consider the things that we find in the account of the Great Commission, It's obvious that the nature of the Great Commission was one of laboring, working. He left the church in the world to preach the gospel to who? To every creature. And you could say, well, and this is really, what I would like to talk about today, because you could say, well, I thought that he just left preachers in the world to carry the gospel to people. But I want you to know that the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature was not just given to preachers. It was given to the Lord's church. It was the church that was commissioned, and she is the only institution in the world today that was ever commissioned for that work. The church was the only institution in the world that the church, that the Lord ever came to and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we need to, remind ourselves from time to time, and we need to think about the great work that the Lord has left us here to do. If it wasn't for that purpose, if it wasn't for the fact that we need to be about the Lord's business and we need to do His work here on the earth, then the church would be better off for the Lord to just go ahead and take us up to be with Him. Every one of us that have been saved, if it wasn't for, the purpose that we have of being here and serving the Lord and doing His work and honoring Him with our lives, then we'd be better off to be with Him in heaven. But, we notice that when the Lord saved our soul, that He didn't immediately call us up to be with Him. He didn't immediately take us into heaven to be in His presence. He left us here in the world, and certainly God does everything with purpose. And He left us here purposely to do the things. It's it's like Paul said in his writing there to the Philippians. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, it's more needful for you that I abide in the flesh. And he was talking about abiding here to do the work of the Lord. And for the saints of God, and I'm afraid that all too often that it's not like this. I'm afraid that it's easy for us to let this slip away and slip away from our minds. But for us that are saved and are members of the Lord's church, we need to feel in our hearts that is our purpose for even being here. That is our primary purpose for being on the earth, that we might serve the Lord and that we might be what He left us here to be. Church, we have got a lot of work to do, don't we? Amen. I mean, we live in a world, and I had tried to deliver a message this week during the revival there at Liberty, and I was talking about how that we live in a world today that's just filled with people, that it's not just all people that are unchurched, it's not just all people that, when they get up on the Lord's Day, that they don't go anywhere. Instead, they go out and they mow their grass or they do something and they don't want to have anything to do with religious matters. It's not just that, but we live in a world today where there are just an unbelievable amount of people that have been deceived by other religious people. Amen. I mean, they've been taught false things, and the Bible tells us that there would be false prophets, and they have taught people false things. And we live in a world today where there's so many people that believe that everything is well with their soul, when in fact they've never experienced what it means to be truly born again. by the Spirit of God. They have something outwardly. They have embraced some type of religion that has done nothing for them than perhaps change them outwardly and change the way that they live. And they've experienced no inner change in their heart whatsoever. And we have a diversity of people to reach with the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. And so we find in the 8th chapter of Acts, and I've always found this very interesting, it's hard to sometimes to know how to really look at this to make it proper. But I do believe this, that I do stand today without reservation and say that I believe that God allowed this persecution to come upon the church at Jerusalem. Because actually what it did was it accomplished among them what it was that he wanted them to be doing. He had commissioned, by this point they were not under a limited commission anymore like they were in the days when Christ was on earth during his earthly ministry. They labored under a limited commission. They were not yet to go into all the world. They were to take the gospel to the Jews primarily. But by this point, the Lord had been crucified and he had resurrected and he had come to his church and he had given them a worldwide commission. He had commissioned her to take the gospel into all the world. And yet we find as we read in the book of Acts that they were not doing really what the Lord had commissioned the church to do. They were staying together and they were congregating and they had, they were living communally. They were on a commune of sorts there in Jerusalem, and they had all things common, and all of them were selling their possessions and putting it into a common treasury, and there was distribution that was being made to each of them as they had need, and they were not going in the direction that the Lord had commissioned them to go. And they didn't do that until there arose a great persecution against the church there in Jerusalem. This was the church that the Lord had established and organized during his personal ministry on the earth. And so when the persecution came upon the church, the Bible tells us then that they were scattered abroad except for the apostles. Now, if I understand this right, when that persecution came upon the church there in Jerusalem, those men that were known among them as their preachers, the apostles, were not scattered. If I understand right, they remained there in the area of Jerusalem, but the members of the church, they were scattered abroad into Judea and Samaria and other places. And the Bible says that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. Now, I do believe that God calls men into the ministry. And I don't believe that he calls women into the ministry. I believe he calls men into the public ministry. And Paul told us in the Ephesian letter why that he did that. When he spoke about, when Paul wrote about how that when Jesus ascended up on high and led captivity captive, that he gave gifts unto men, and he gave to some apostles and to some prophets and to some evangelists and to some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And God calls men into the ministry for that purpose. He calls men to be pastors. He calls men to use as evangelists. He calls men to use in different ways in the ministry. But I'm telling you that I am convinced that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ preaches the gospel to the world. Amen. The church. And I believe that's what happened. And I believe that's what we read about in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. They that were scattered abroad, except for the apostles, went everywhere preaching the word. It's our responsibility to the Lord to get the gospel out. And we need to do that. We need to all, listen, we need to all evangelize. Do you believe that? That we all need to evangelize. That we all need to be carrying the gospel to people. And listen, I've heard people in my life, and I hope that this will encourage all of us, but I have talked with people in my life, and I'm talking about people that were members of missionary Baptist churches, and they have been convinced that if they couldn't get somebody to come to church with them, to hear their preacher, that there was nothing else that they could do. You know, I've talked to that person and I've invited them time and time again to come to church and they won't come. I can't get them to come to church and there's nothing else that, you know, I can do. And I've had people, you know, throughout the years of my ministry actually talk with me and tell me that. And my response to them has been, yes, there's something you can do. If they won't come with you, you share the gospel with them right where they're at. You do the work of the Lord right where they're at. You share your testimony with them. I'll tell you what, I believe the gospel is the gospel. I believe that, you know, the scriptures teach us that the gospel is the good news. It's the good news of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if a preacher shares it with somebody from the pulpit, it's the gospel. And if a child of God shares it with somebody in the privacy of their home or out on the street, the gospel is the gospel. Amen. It's still the gospel. We find in the fourth chapter of John, when Jesus was talking with the Samaritan woman there at the well, and I believe that woman got a drink from the deep well. I believe she got a drink of that living water. And the Lord talked with her and revealed unto her things about her life that he couldn't have known. You know, he told her how many husbands she had had. You know, you've had five husbands and the man you're with now is not your husband. And when he told her that, she said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." But I'll tell you what, I believe that she went on to perceive more than that. I'm convinced that she came to the belief that he was in fact the Messiah, that he was in fact the Savior, because she asked him, eventually we read in that conversation, that she asked him for a drink of that living water, and I certainly believe he gave it to her. And then she went down, the Bible says she went down into the city of Samaria there, and she testified to them and said, "Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And the Bible says that many of them believed on him for the saying of the woman. She evangelized. Was she called into the ministry? No. Was she a God-called preacher? No. But she knew the Lord. She knew what he had done for her. And she was able to share it. And that's what we need to do. All of us. You know, listen. When the Bible told us in the 107th Psalm, I believe it is, When the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it didn't mean for us to just share our testimonies when we're in a church service together. We need to share them wherever we have the opportunity. You know, what the Lord has done for you can be a powerful witness to somebody that's not saved. And we need to, we need to think outside the box. And we don't need to think that the only way, you know, I give God thanks for the wonderful revival that we had. Didn't God bless us in a great way? I thank God for that, but we certainly don't need to be of the opinion or be of the idea that the only way that God works among us and helps us to reach lost people is when we come together inside of these walls and have our services and have our revival meetings. There's work out there for us to do in our everyday life, and we need to, we need to go forth from day to day on our jobs or whatever that it might be, realizing that we are here to serve the Lord and to work for Him. And there are people out there that we're going to come in contact with from day to day. They need to hear what the Lord did for me. They need to hear my testimony. I can share with them that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God can use those things, and I believe He does use those things, reach people. You will come into contact with people that others never will, and vice versa. And you're going to come into contact with people from day to day in your life that will quite probably never hear your pastor preach a sermon. Or maybe at least they won't hear it until they get saved, and then they'll get willing to come to church. But we need to, you know, when we leave here today, and when we leave here from time to time, we need to remember that we're entering the mission field. And we need to go everywhere preaching the gospel and proclaiming to others what the Lord has done for us. God, He blesses us when we go to the nursing homes and wherever that we go, you know, we can be the Lord's workers. We can do what Paul said in his writing to the Corinthians. We can plant and we can water and trust in God to give the increase. And I'm thankful, again, that He has blessed us. And I'm thankful to be here today. I want to encourage you in your Christian life to work for the Lord. Work for the Lord. Don't just be somebody that comes to church on Sunday and sits here and doesn't do anything all week long for the Lord. Don't live your life that way. Be a witness for Him. Do His work. Fulfill the commission that He left us here to fulfill. And God will bless us for it. You want to see a church growing? You want to see a church that grows? You see a church that works. And you'll see a church that grows and sees people saved. That's my message to you today, and I hope that it's been a help to you in some way. I'd like to ask Brother Neil, Brother Kobe,